For the sermon this morning, we think on this narrative written down in Luke chapter 24 that we just heard read and then also reviewed with the children. To start, I reread verse 32. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Some of you like to follow along the notes and some like to just listen. I will say there's two places where I have scriptures written in there and I will read those. Jesus is meeting them, and they are confused and sad. And they needed his teaching. This is really, really what they needed. And notice how he, for his purposes and his design, kept them from recognizing him. They didn't realize it was him himself, Jesus, risen from the dead. But instead, as a stranger, appearing as a stranger to them, he talks to them and hears about their confusion and sadness. And they say, "We were hoping he would be the redeemer for Israel. He was the one to redeem Israel. He was a mighty prophet, and he did all these miracles and had all these teachings, and we were hoping he was the one to redeem Israel." So there was that hope. Hoping for salvation from him, hoping that the promises of the Old Testament would come true. That's what they're talking about. And they're saying, "Well, some of us in our group who followed him have seen the empty tomb." And the women said they saw the empty tomb and even saw angels, but we don't know what to make of it. Scripture says they were sad. And Jesus says to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." He points their hope, their understanding of all that's happened, to the scriptures, to the prophets. He wants them to know what God has promised, and thus, if they know what God has promised, how it fits to what he's done, there their chaos will and confusion will go. They will find joy and gladness in the facts that are happening all around them. God has planned and promised this. And so it says there in the text, that Jesus, and it's an interesting word that Luke uses here, Jesus interpreted Moses and all the prophets about himself to them. And that's an interesting thing. It's not teach, it's not preach, it's not proclaim, but the word really is related in the Greek to interpret, which means to bring into their language, to make it known to them plainly. It's like an interpretation when you go from German to English, or from Greek to English, or Concomba to English, or English to Concomba. Interpret, to make known in your own understanding. So this was a thorough teaching and interpretation. He's saying, look, this is what Isaiah meant. Look, this is what David meant in Psalm 110. Look, this is what the promise was in Genesis 3:15. Look, this is what the Levitical sacrifices about the Day of Atonement was about me, finally. I'm finally the Lamb of God. And he points all these things out, Moses and all the prophets, concerning him. So they invited him to come along to their house. He's pretending still, just hiding his person to them, or hiding his identity to them. He said, come stay with us. It's late. it appears that he started blessing communion, but he didn't finish it. It was just started it, breaking of the bread, the term for communion. Just started it, and he disappeared. Didn't we know it was him when he was teaching us the scriptures on the road? Our hearts were burning. It's interesting, when Jesus just appears and disappears, that's not the surprise, that's like the surprising thing to us in our way of thinking. But what they're concerned about, and what's surprising to them, and what's marvelous to them, wasn't that Jesus could appear and disappear before their eyes, but that he was teaching them from the scriptures and opening their eyes to what it all had happened, to the reality of what God had done and was doing. Without Jesus' teaching, without his interpretation of these texts, they would have remained confused. Notice he didn't reveal himself during his teaching and interpretation to them of the scriptures. He wanted them to hear the scriptures plain, how it foretold him, all the details. The angels appeared to the women, but there is still confusion. But it's the word of God that Jesus knew they needed to know and understand. Not even angels could clarify Jesus' own teaching. And it's interesting, I studied just a little bit that word, that our hearts were burning while he was opening our minds to the scriptures. And it's just burn, it just means ignite. Well, Jesus is foretold to do that for his people. In Luke chapter 3, when the people were coming to John the Baptizer, he said that Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That's what John said in chapter 3 of Luke. I read that passage. As the people were in expectation and all were questioning in their hearts whether concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. John baptized with water for repentance. But John said, the one who's coming after me is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Okay, that helps us think about Jesus and what he's doing now after he's risen from the dead. He's having their hearts burn with his word and his teaching. But also, what's going on further with that? And I also thought of the prophecy about Jesus, which I suspect he also explained to them that time, that journey on the road, from Malachi, which is the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3. Malachi prophesied that the messenger of the covenant would purify God's people. Listen to this. And there's two messengers, and I have it marked. One messenger is John the Baptist, but the other messenger is the messenger of the covenant, and that's Jesus. Malachi said, behold, I send my messenger, that's John, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant, that's Jesus, in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings and righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old, as in former years. Now, Jesus is the messenger of the covenant. And Malachi says here, this messenger of the covenant, what he's going to do is he's going to purify and refine the Levites. Okay, little explanation, what's going on here? Malachi is the last prophet of the Old Testament times. Then there's about 400 years before the birth of Jesus. But one of the problems in, it's a short book, four chapters, one of the problems in Malachi that he is dealing with is that the prophets were not faithful and were, the priests were not faithful and were not teaching the people correctly and other things. And so he has a complaint against the priests. But then in chapter 3, he says, but there is a messenger going to prepare the way, John, for the messenger of the covenant, the great covenant that God has with his people, the new covenant, the renewed covenant, the messenger of the covenant. And what is this messenger going to do? He's going to purify the Levites. The Levites is the tribe of the priests. He's going to purify the priests and refine them, and then they will worship, and then they will be in righteousness when they worship. There is this prophecy and promise through Malachi that God's priests, their lives would be purified, and they would be righteous, and they would be holy. Well, lo and behold, we learn in the New Testament that God makes all of Jesus' disciples into a kingdom of priests. This prophecy is not only about those leading worship, that tribal group, but all of the disciples following Christ. His job, Jesus' job, is to purify us and to give us righteousness so that we can know God and worship Him. And how did He do this? How did He bring this purity and burning to those two on the road, Emmaus? He taught them His word. He taught them and opened their minds to all these promises of the Old Testament and how He has fulfilled them. And His disciples, when they recognized Him in the breaking of the bread, said, aha, God has done His promises. This is the Savior. We are forgiven. He is alive. And they ran right away to tell the other disciples what Jesus has taught them. We Christians who are living 2,000 years, more or less a few years, after Jesus has risen from the dead, where do we find our hope and our chaos and our hope from our chaos? And where do we find teaching? And where do we find the interpretation of what's going on around us? We find it in God's Word. And it is Jesus by the Holy Spirit and His Word that opens our eyes to perceive the importance of Jesus' resurrection and what that means for us. And it opens our eyes to see the problems in the world and how it needs Jesus Christ. And it opens up our eyes to how we need His Word in our lives, and we need to teach His Word. It is a joy and wonderful to be hearing a sermon or in Bible class, or maybe you're listening to a teaching or preaching on the radio or a podcast about God's Word, and you have like, oh, I didn't know that before. Oh, God really does that? Oh, those O's? Those recognitions of God's truth in the text, that's the burning and purifying of Jesus in His Word for us. It's really happening. It's just not an intellectual thing. It's that, but it's more. It's in our lives. And that's what Jesus wants to do and does for us. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for sending your Son to die for us and for teaching us, for interpreting to us your will, your word, your promises. Help us always to be open to your word every day of our lives till the day we die on this earth, so that we may always know of your love, may always know of your grace, may always know of your promise in Jesus Christ to bring us to heaven. Keep us true and keep us faithful. All these things, Heavenly Father, we bring to you in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing the offertory. Create in me a clean heart, O God. The congregation is invited to stand as we sing.